And Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we come before you just as humbly today as we possibly can. Just well aware of how short we fall of you and how short we fall of your glory. And Lord, today we come very aware of our struggles and very aware of our sin and the stuff in our life that doesn't need to be there. And so Lord, we come to you humbly. But we also come to you today just full of joy because of who you are, knowing that in your grace and in your love and in your mercy, you have found a way to forgive our sins. And in Christ, there has been a sacrifice that pays for those sins. And so we rejoice in that today. And we come boldly today knowing that you're a God that's full of grace and mercy and love. And Lord, today we want to draw from that. We want to be filled up with your joy and your spirit today. And so, Father, I pray today as we sing, as we worship, Lord, that it wouldn't just be words, but it would be coming from our heart, Lord, that we would engage today with you, that we wouldn't just sit in a chair, but that we would be actively worshiping and surrendering ourselves and our hearts and our lives to you. And, Lord, that as we come today with all kinds of struggles and all kinds of difficulties and problems, that we would bring those to you and lay those at your feet and allow you to minister to us, allow you to bring healing and joy today into our lives. And Lord, I thank you this morning for every person that's here. Lord, I thank you for our guests that are present today. Lord, I thank you that you brought them here. And Lord, I pray that they would find love in this family of believers, that they would find a place where your presence is felt and desired. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you for the time that you've given us today. May it honor you in every way. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and greet each other.
God's people gathering together and loving on each other. What a beautiful sight it is from up here. I love watching it every Sunday morning. Glad that you are here this morning. We got some neat songs to sing this morning. This first one is a song that has been on the radio for a few weeks now. There you go. You're still out there. It's been on the radio for a few weeks now, and when I first heard it, I saw the title. It said, Jesus Loves Me. I was like, somebody finally did a version of the children's song, Jesus Loves Me. But then I heard it. It's a beautiful new worship song by Chris Tomlin. And it's just about as catchy and has a wonderful message. And we're going to learn it. If you don't already know it this morning, we're going to learn it this morning together. And if you do know it, sing it with us and sing it loud because it's a beautiful song, Jesus Loves Me.
Lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold on me, my heart was a stone, I was covered in shame, when he came for me, I couldn't run, couldn't from His presence. I couldn't run from His arms. Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me.
Message to carry with us as we go throughout the world. Jesus loves us, even on those days when we feel like no one does. Jesus always loves us. What a great reassurance to always know that. This next song is called Cornerstone, and many of you probably remember the old Jesus is our Cornerstone song, and I love that song. This is kind of a new version of that, but the words to this song are so beautiful. So many times we sing songs, we just sing the songs. Pay attention to what you're singing during the song. Words mean things, as Rush Limbaugh says. I think that's who says that. But words do mean things. And these words mean a lot because it talks about Jesus, who is our rock that we can go to any day, any time.
Jesus' name.
Hey, good morning. Hey, is everybody doing well? Really? That's it? Amen. So, is everybody doing well this morning? I have to admit, you look pretty sharp now, and now that the lights are up, you look good. Hey, look, I want to just share one little quick little thing, if that's okay, is that we got a ski trip that's coming up next weekend, and the cost is $125, and let me tell you, Mom and Dad, that covers everything. That means it's meals and the lodging, and let me tell you, that's a pretty good deal. It's for two nights of staying and all the meals, except for one, that's when you get the ski lodge. When you are skiing. And so if you are wanting to sign up, today is the deadline for that. And so you need to come and see me sometime after the service, preferably not during the service, but because I'm going to be up here the whole time, and that would be awkward and weird. And so, but please sign up your child if you're interested for your child to go skiing. And I'm hoping that'll be just a great time together. And so, is everybody having a good 2015 so far? Like, yeah, it's like, man, we're doing good. And so I hope that you are. Are y'all relaxed? Are you laid back? Everybody feeling, man, I'm comfy. I'm just like, all right, it's good to be here. All right, because I want us to share some things with each other really quick, if that's okay. How many of y'all, you made some kind of, hey, resolution or something I want to do different this year? Like, I see some hands. And how many of here would say that, man, I'm kicking it. I wanted to do this. I wanted to make this one change in my life. And, man, I'm rocking. I'm knocking it out of the park. Is there anybody here that can kind of testify to that? Anybody? Anybody that would be bold enough to say, hey, this year I wanted to do this different. And, I am doing it. Anybody? Can anybody out of, okay, young man right here. Thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell everybody what was it you wanted to do different this year? Do better in believing in God. Man, that's a big deal. All right. And I hope that God will nurture you. Yes, you just love on that child. And you know what that is? Hey, can I tell you how you know that your belief in God can grow? It's because of that nice lady kissing you on the forehead right there. That's all because of God's love for you. All right. Anybody else want to share something? Yes, in the back. Go ahead. All right, to be more like Christ, and you're kicking it, right? Well, man, I'm doing that, which I've got to do to make that happen. Anybody else? All right, anybody completely failing? And like, that's me, I'm a failure. And would like to share with everybody and say, look, I planned on doing this, and it didn't work out. Anybody? All right, because I'm fixing to share you mine. Actually, it's two things. There's two things that this year that I very simple that I decided I was going to do different. One is because of this. And I don't know if some of you kind of realize this, and I appreciate it that you didn't realize this. But since I've started working at Gateway in this past August, I have gained 7 pounds. Yeah. You reckon he's like, yeah, or you can relate. Okay, I get it. But yes, I have gained 7 pounds. The fat boy just keeps getting fatter, all right? And it's just kind of like, and I was like, all right. I think the thing of it is that, because I don't think I eat that bad. I mean, Carrie would kind of disagree with that completely, but she is my cook. And so, I decided this is that I'm going to try and get a little more active. And what I'm going to do is this is I'm going to, we've got our neighborhood. I'm just going to walk our neighborhood. I'm not going to put any kind of time constraints or, you know, I got to walk a mile or 2 miles or 10 miles. It's just, look, I'm just going to go outside and I'm going to start walking. And really, I'm not even going to make it around the block. Just my cove. I just want to walk around the cove and just be like, all right, if I've done this once a day, I'm good. Did y'all realize that one day this week it was 7 degrees outside? I mean, that is craziness. Who would want to do that? Who would go outside and walk the cove in 7 degrees? And so yeah, I failed. And there's one other thing I plan on doing this year too. And again, it's very simple. It's this. See, I've had to go to the doctor more this past year than I have in my entire life. And I have what you call And I think it's a real medical term, and it's called white coat syndrome. Have y'all ever heard of that? Some of you, anybody share it or not? Yes, I know. I know what you're talking about. All right, yes, and I do. It's just, man, you just don't do doctors. It's not a comfortable place for you to be at. And a few weeks ago, I was feeling bad, and I went to the walk-in clinic. I waited for my wife to get home. I was like, all right, we're going. You're with me, baby. We're going to go and take me to the doctor. And I saw a doctor, found I had a strep throat, and they gave me this antibiotic that I took for 10 days. And I want to tell you, I just couldn't quite get over it. I was still feeling bad. And so I asked my wife, I said, you know, let's go see our family doctor back in Camden. And he's a good friend of mine. I'm comfortable with him. And I was like, I'm going to get the shot, and I'm going to get better. It's like, will you go with me? You take a half a day off. And she goes, nope, I'm too busy. You're going to go on your own. And I was just like, I'm seriously, guys, the love of my life, who I adore, who I pledge to be with the rest of my life. I was like, please do this. And she was too busy to take me to the doctor. And so, again, I'm going to be brave. That was my thing. I'm going to be brave. I'm going to go to the doctor. And so I do. I go see Doc, and Doc says, yeah, we'll give you something for your sinuses and give you some more antibiotic. And before he walks in, he's like, no, Doc, I'm being brave. I want the shot. And he was like, okay, and he walks away. And the nurse comes back, and she brings, and she comes in, and it's like, well, are you ready for this? No, it's because here's the thing. If you have the white coat syndrome, usually what goes along with that is that you have this fear of shots, right? And Nick don't do shots very well. And he just don't. And so she kind of gave me the instructions what I needed to do. She's like, kind of bend over a little bit and put your hands on the desk. I'm like, well, where are you wanting to put this thing? And she was just like, well, I'm going to put it in your right upper thigh area. She says, you need to drop trowel just a little bit just so I can, give you the shot. And I'm like, okay. And so I kind of put my hands on the table, and I kind of around and look at her and says, you're going to wait until I'm ready, right? And she just kind of got her hand on my lower back here, and she's like, and just kind of got the shot behind her. It's like, yep, I'm waiting on you. And I was like, okay. So I keep looking at her, and I was like, you're going to wait until I tell you. And she's like, yeah, I'm just waiting on you. And she starts kind of walking to the side of me. So I wind up turning back and looking this way to the other shoulder. She's like, wait a minute, you're going to wait until I'm ready. And she's like, look, I'm just waiting on you. And she kind of backs up again, which makes me kind of turn. And we kind of do this procedure 7 or 8 times, kind of like a little dance that we got going. It's like, you're waiting on me, right? And she's like, yes. And so eventually I kind of was like, I'm holding myself. And then I just kind of flop myself over in the bed. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. She gives me the shot. And again, this takes about 10 minutes, okay? Not proud of that fact, but I guess I should share it. And this is what she does. She gets the shot. She throws the syringe. She throws it away. And I was like, are you done? And she was like, yep, that was it. Slams the doors and leaves. Now, look, I'm feeling okay for a few seconds. And I'm like, okay, this wasn't that bad. And as I was like, well, I guess it's time to go. And I start to, kind of fix my clothes a little bit. And it hits me. And I don't know if y'all know this or not, but really, I didn't understand this till now. And maybe I had forgotten about it. But it's not the shot itself that really hurts you. It's the medicine that goes in you. And it takes a few seconds for that stuff to kick in, all right? And so I'm here by myself, and this pain starts to kind of hit into my upper, cheek there. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this really hurts. And it starts to throb. And I'm just like, what do I do? And I remember saying to me, stay limp on that leg so that muscle can take the medicine. And I'm just kind of standing there. I was like, I wish it would hurry up and take it already. I mean, I was just like, I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And finally, I was like, okay, I'm going to be a big boy, and I'm going, it's time to go. I've been here long enough. And so, again, I fix my clothes and I go out and I see the reception. I says, am I done today? Do I owe you anything? She says, no, you're good. We'll see you. And I take about 10 steps toward the door, and then it hits me. and all the stars starts coming in. And I turn around and I look at receptions, you know, and I says, you know, I'm not feeling too good. And she says, it's okay, you sit down really quick, just have a seat. She's like, don't look down, keep your head up. And when the nurses come back and she gets this chair, she props my feet up, she brings this little wet towel, she puts it on the back of my neck, and she's like, you're going to be okay. And there she was like, and I'm like, okay. I was like, look, I know I'm okay, I'm good, and I'm all right. She says, hon, would you like us to call your wife to come pick you up? And I'm like, no. And I was like, no, she's too busy. And so I sat there, and God provided this nice senior lady who was there with her husband, taking him to the doctor in the waiting room. And we chitted and chatted, and we just enjoyed each other's company. And I'm sure my wife was jealous of that. But here it was, two things that I wanted to do. Simple. Just walk a little bit. And just be a man when it comes to going to the doctor and not a child. And I had completely failed at both within 10 days of the year. And it was just, I just completely failed. And maybe that's you in this year. And she's like, man, I wanted to do some things different this year. And I blew it. And I mean, hadn't even really started, and I'm just completely failed. And what I want to encourage you is this, and kind of the message I have for you is, what if I say that this year, though, that you can do some wild things? I mean, things are just kind of completely wild for the Lord this year in 2015. What if I say that you can do those things, and that a year from now, when you look back right before the New Year's, when, you know, right before 2016, that you reflect on the year, and it won't be one of those years where you say, man, I wish I had did more for the Lord this past year. I sure hope I can do better in 2016. But you can look back and say, wow, that was wild. And you can tell your friends, and you can ask them, can you believe what God did in my life this year? See, this morning I want us to look at a certain lady in the Bible, in the book of Luke chapter 7. And what I want us to do is I want us to pull four courses of actions that you can take that this lady displayed while being in the presence of Christ, that maybe if we can follow her example, things really can be different. And what she did that made people say, wow, that was wild. I've never seen anything like that in my life. What in the world is she doing? How crazy is this? So again, turn to me in Luke 7, and we're going to look at chapters 36 through 50. And if you're there, say word. Man, I love hearing that. And y'all, do me a favor. I want to give you a break. Y'all stand up one more time and honor God's word, and then I'll let you sit down. But this is what our text says. It says this. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would he know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him? For she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And so Simon said, well, teacher, say it. And Jesus continued and said, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Now tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, well, you have rightly judged. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Can I pray with that for y'all? And let's pray this morning. God, I just want to just thank you for this story and this example of how you loved this woman unconditionally and met her right where she was. And God, what we also want to just thank you for the testimony that we see in her life and how she reacted to being at the feet of Jesus. And that God, and how her heart was moved by you and how she responded by that. And so God, what I pray for is for the people of the day, the church, this church family, that God, this morning, that our hearts will be moved by you, which will be glorified in our lives. Bless your word and its reading. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Today, here we are. We read this story of this woman whom our text describes as what? What is she? She's a sinner. She's sinful, right? And if we decided to sit here and think about it, our minds can go into these different extremes of how wild and sinful this woman really could be. I mean, is she an alcoholic? Or just maybe she just liked to party? Or maybe she liked different men? Or she could have been like a lot of women that the Bible describes as sinful. She could have been even a prostitute. But I think this woman here was probably more like us than anything else. See, I'm sure that she had moments in her life where she made resolutions so as to think, you know, I'm going to do better this year. I promise myself and I commit to myself that I'm going to be different. But the end result was always the same, just failure, falling back into sin. And it's the inability to fulfill that which she herself desired to fulfill, which was simply just to make things better. And what I think is so beautiful about this text is that the wild thing that she does, you know, that which is just completely wild, has nothing to do with her sin at all, but has everything to do with Jesus. See, what was so wild here was that she herself in her own sinful self doing that which was contrary to the norm for her, and doing that which left the religious establishment confused and perplexed as to what is this woman of reputation doing with our special guest. See, what was wild or unnatural and out of the ordinary for her, a well-known sinner, was not based upon her sin, but again, it was what she did for Christ. And this is what I encourage you to do this year. The wild thing that I encourage you to do. And it's these four things that I think we can pull from her and what she had done. One is this, okay? It's to worship Him intentionally. To worship Him intentionally. See, again, we've got this woman of town, a reputation, who lived this sinful life. And we got Jesus eating at this Pharisee's house. And so she goes there with her alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind Him, behind His feet, she began weeping. She began to wet His feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair and she kissed them. She poured this perfume on them. Can I tell you something? This practice of washing of feet, this was nothing out of the ordinary for the custom of this day. See, the custom actually suggests that the honored guest, and the guest today being who? Jesus. That He would enter into a home and a servant of the host would have this basin of water and He would have a towel. And as the guests lounged, they would clean their feet because they would be dusty and dirty from the journey. Kind of makes sense, right? And then the servant would get this oil and anoint the head of the guest. Now this is custom, but that which preceded was not custom. That which we read, this woman and what she had done, it is not. See, there's something totally different that she had done. And actually something that is of much more significance. Something that those who were watching, that was in that room, seeing what was happening, that they would consider this as, man, this is wild. This is absolutely not normal. See, instead of the servant at the door waiting or a representative of the host, we've got this lady. And the text shares this important detail about her, like a broad stroke of a wide brush. And it simply described her as sinful. See, some of us, and when I say us, I mean I really mean us in this room. Some of us, we get caught up in the degrees of sin. And one commentary actually says that she was a prostitute. But see, the writer here, he omits her sin here. And I think that needs to be shown as significant. Because see, it doesn't matter how you define your sin, such as if it's a little white lie, or if you're just a pathological liar, or just one thing that you heard and you just whispered it into your best friend's ear, or if you get on this new party line with your Facebook friends and say, you cannot believe what I just heard. See, the reality of it is that sin is sin. See, sin is just, it's just sin. And there's this movie called Pure Country. Now, I asked Steve earlier if I could share this illustration, and he gave me the okie dokie on it. And so just, you know what I mean? So just bear with me on this. And so, but if y'all have seen that movie, I mean, it's a movie made back in the early 90s. Got George Strait in it. And the plot of the movie is that you've got this country singer who's trying to get away from the lights and the loudness of country show business. And so he kind of runs away from the bus and from the road crew, and he meets this girl and he decides to stay a few days on the family's farm, and where her dad and her brothers had lived, and it was like this horse ranch, and the dad was really a kind of level-headed, stern. You know, you got that moment at the table where just they're eating and nobody says a word, and George's trying to make conversation and nothing's really going on. And, you know, nobody's saying anything. And then finally, you know, Dad and George are kind of together, and this dialogue kind of starts up. And here's this old level-minded dad, and he's just kind of talking with George, and he asks George this question. And he says, do you know what the white stuff is on chicken poop? And George Strait's kind of befuddled, and he was like, No, I don't. What is it? And the dad just kind of looks at him and says, well, it's chicken poop too. And so, see, we often categorize people and their sins and say, well, at least I ain't like them. And we like to make ourselves feel better by telling ourselves, well, at least I ain't like that. You know, I'm a lot better person than they are. Look at who I am and what my crew looks like. And you may even admit it. Hey, I know I ain't perfect. But at least I ain't as bad as they are. Guys, can I tell you something? You are. You are. Oh, yes, you are. See, Proverbs 21:29 says this, says, a wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his ways. Now, let me tell you, the writer is trying to say here is that we can lie to ourselves and we can attempt to convince ourselves and others by putting up this fake face and say that, well, at least I ain't like them. But God says this. God says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, there's no degrees in which we fail God. We just simply fail God. We have simply just failed Him. And here's the thing. It's when we grasp that understanding that we realize the easiness of being intentional, of worshiping Him, and of setting the course that today I'm going to worship Him because what He did for me in spite of what I have done and in who I am and how I have failed Him. See, when this lady, when she learned that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house, She went wild. You know, the kind of wild that I'm encouraging you guys to pursue this year. See, her past and her current failures, they didn't hold her back from coming to Jesus. She didn't wait for an invitation. She didn't check the calendar and see if she could squeeze him in. And here's the thing. She probably knew that she wasn't even welcomed either because of whose house that it was at. See, she was going to the Pharisee's house, right? One of those who was different from her. One of those ultra-religious guys. Someone who grew up with church clothes. One of those, look at how holy I am type. Y'all feel me? But she went. She went anyway. And she didn't go empty-handed. See, sometime along the way, she intentionally, not by accident, but with full knowledge, she picked up this alabaster jar of perfume. And she probably had the perfume in her home because of the great value of it. And it may have been her rainy day fund, or it may have been the start of her retirement. But the reality of it is this. It was the most valuable thing that she had, and she intentionally picked it up to take it as she went to see Jesus. See, be intentional in your worship. Wake up in the morning and put on the full armor of God. Put your war paint on like you are going to join the fighting line with William Wallace and Braveheart, and you're like, man, I'm going to pick a fight with the devil today and get ready to fight for your freedom. Get ready to fight for your freedom from sin. And have yourself ready when the opportunity arises to testify and to witness and to worship Him. And here's the thing, if we just open our eyes, we can see that the opportunity really is there. The opportunity to wash the feet of Jesus, it's right there. If we intentionally wake up in the morning and declare that today I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to worship Him in my comings, and I'm going to worship Him in my goings, and my dealings with others, and no matter how difficult or easy the situation or the circumstances may be, I'm going to praise the Lord. See, then the second thing is this. It kind of goes along with that. Is to indulge yourself in godly activity. See, we often think of worship as in song and in music and in repetitive words. But here this woman's worship was pure in action. Wordless action. See, she didn't have to express her heart's appeal through her voice or through repeating a prayer that she heard as a child or from a preacher. For Christ knew her desire. Christ saw it in her action. See, he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, he says, "Do you see this woman? Here I am. I'm in your house, and you didn't give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. So you didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, she hadn't stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, and as for her, great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." And then Jesus says to her, says, "Hey, your sins, they're forgiven." See, we often think that we don't have the tools to do the task, or our circumstances don't promote the ability to be in awe of God, that we don't have the right reputation. Can I tell you something? Neither did this woman. You know, to wash the feet of Christ, she needed a basin of water. And she needed a towel, right? But when we humbly find ourselves in the presence of God, brokenness tends to follow. And when we find ourselves broken, it enables Christ to mold us and provide that which He has for us. See, when she found herself in the presence of Christ, when her sin was present in the Spirit of God, it broke her. And she became emotional, and the tears flowed. And because of her brokenness, tears was what provided for the water needed to wash the feet of Jesus. And then she used that which was considered her glory, right? For all you Old Testament scholars out there, y'all know what I'm talking about. She used that which was considered her glory, her hair. and used it to wipe the feet of Christ. See, we all have a work that we must do, right? Right? We all have to make a living. But the Bible says that whatever you do, whatever your work is, that you're to do it as unto the Lord. See, don't make the year all about bettering yourself in your bank statement or in your sport or in your waistline or in some activity such as, you know, I think I'm just going to play a little more golf this year. See, we all have our passions. We all have those things that we're passionate about. And let me tell you, okay, it's okay to be passionate about your passions. It really is. Don't feel bad about doing things that you enjoy. But align your passions with your passion for Christ. Y'all understand? Align the passions that you have and align them with your passion for Christ. See, this is the same idea. That which you find your glory in, not just your talents, but what you do, and what you have, and your personality, and that whom God made you to be, glory in all that for the cause of Christ. And that which is outside of yourself, especially, you know, to your family and your friends, that which you have the most value in, your alabaster box, just give it to God. Which kind of leads into the third thing, to live with purpose. To live with purpose. See, this Samaritan woman found her purpose, in spite of her past, was to simply serve Jesus. See, she did not become a follower of Christ by simply saying a prayer or starting to attend church or joining a church small group. No, her faith moved her into action. Her faith was displayed and acknowledged by her action. She found that her purpose was in Christ and that she had a fulfillment to be accomplished in that an expensive alabaster filled with this perfume that she stored up for her rainy day and her retirement, but she found a new value in it. See, the reality of it was never, ever meant to be used for those purposes. It was meant to be used to anoint the feet of Jesus. So you have a purpose, and it is simply to do this, folks. Y'all look at me. Your purpose is to anoint the feet of Jesus. That's it. Now, it comes in different forms, but we are all called by faith. We're not called to a prayer. We're not called by a simple invitation. You're called to a purpose. And James 2:14 through 17 says this. Okay, let me read it to you. It says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, it's dead. What deeds or plans or resolutions do you have this year? See, some of you, your plate is completely full, and you've concocted this list of things and ideas that you're going to accomplish to make you better, to make your life better, and hey, that's great that you have plans, but my question is this: where is your alabaster jar? Is it still in your home in a corner somewhere? I mean, where is the means that you're going to anoint the feet of Jesus? Are you going to take it with you, prepared to serve Christ when the opportunity arises? Are you going to leave it at your home in your closet or just simply by the door? Guys, take that which is most precious to you, your personal gifts and your heart, and be prepared to share because of the love of Christ that is within you. And devote that love to God and to others, just like this nice lady who hugged this young man and just kissed him on the forehead. Devote yourself to God and to others, all because of love. And that's our last point, guys. Is to be devoted to God. and to others. See, maybe this year when we think of things that we want to be better, to make better, it won't be devoted simply to ourselves, because actually we've seen this over and over and over with it, that the end result of that is usually the same, is failure and the feeling of disappointment with a side of discouragement, right? But devote yourself to God and His purposes. Why? So, and you can ask yourself, well, why should I do that? Because we are no different than the sinful woman, because we have been forgiven of so much. See, we have been forgiven so much that our heart should automatically cry out, God, all I am and all I have is yours. And how that is fleshed out is that, and how that is made real in the world is your devotion to others. See, 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not love, I'm only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I have nothing. And if I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not love, I've simply gained nothing. See, don't live your life in a way that the things that you do define you. But live in the way you do the things that you do, that they define you. Y'all understand what I'm saying when I say that? See, don't live your life in a way that the things that you do, that's what defines you. But live in the way that that's what defines you. And the way that we're talking about, it's delivered by love. And it's through love. And it's all because of God's love for us. Guys, this is my last illustration, and I'm done with it. I'm going to let you go, okay? And it's this. There's this young soldier, and his name was Joshua Byers, and he was a captain of his unit. He was a West Point graduate and a child of missionaries from South Carolina. And ultimately, this guy, he gave his life during a time of war. And George W. Bush spoke about him during a commencement address at Arlington Memorial Cemetery over Memorial Day weekend. And the president read a letter, or a portion of a letter, that Captain Byers had wrote to his parents. And I want to read that little portion to you. And y'all catch this. This is what Captain Byers said to his mom and dad. He says, I will give the men everything I have to give. I love them already, just because they are mine. I pray with all my heart that I will be able to take every single one of them home safe when we finish our mission here. Guys, I want to encourage you again. May your trophies not be that which you put on your shelf and what you've parked in your garage, or the titles that you have in the front of your name or on the behind your name, but the love that you have for others and the character that you display. And when you think of what it is that others, and when I mean by others, I mean your family and your friends and your neighbors, and you ask yourself, what is it that they have to say about you? Let me ask it like this. Here's a better question. When it comes to those around you in the world that is lost, are you willing to give up everything that you have to give? Why? Because you love them. Because you love the Lord, and they are yours. They are your friends. They're your family members. They're your neighbors, and they're your community. Are you devoted to them, that your prayer would be that with all your heart, that every one of them, that when their mission is done here on this earth, and when your mission is done here on this earth, that you would all safely be at home with the Heavenly Father. Maybe this year that you can simply go wild, and that you can worship intentionally, and that you can indulge yourself in godly activity, and that you will find yourself living with purpose, and that you'll devote yourself to God and to others. Maybe this morning God's pulling on your heart and says, you know, I want to make somewhat of a commitment to that. And maybe you need to do that publicly. Come see Steve, and I'm sure he would love to pray about that. Or maybe you want to come to our pastor, and you've got prayer needs in your heart, and you want him to kind of partner with you in prayer about something. Or maybe you need to, today you need to come to know Christ, and because you've never done that, you've got an opportunity right now. Again, come see our pastor. Come see me. I'm kind of off to the side here, and we would love to talk to you about that and pray with you. Or maybe you need to become part of this great family, what we call Gateway Baptist Church. Man, I encourage you to do those things. Phil is going to come up. He's going for our time of invitation, and his crew is going to come up. Can I pray for you this morning? Let's pray. God, I just want to just thank you for that. God, I just want to thank you that you love us in spite of who we are and the failures that we have. And God, that you love us, that even though we can have so much selfish ambition for ourselves, that God, that you see fit to use us for something greater than that. And that God, that you've got a purpose for everyone in this room. God, I pray that no one will feel insignificant in your eyes, but God, that what they will feel is that your love abides and just guides them, and that God, that it's your love which just kind of pushes them and encourages them and lifts them up to be something greater for you, so that others can see you inside of them. So God, this morning, pull at our hearts and in our souls. Pull us towards you, and let your Spirit just anoint us so that, God, that we'll be the workmanship of Christ. And that, God, that this year it can be something different, something just, hey, something wild and crazy, so that people be like, that not just our community, but even the religious establishment be like, what is going on in that place? And we can say it's all because of you. And it's all because of your anointing. It's all because of your love. Thank you so much for this day. And to be able to praise you. And God, thank you for tomorrow, that we can do it the same. And the next day. And the next day. So God, again, I commit this time to you, moving the hearts of the people for your glory. And it's in Christ's name. Amen.
Stand with us.
You are the only one I need. I bow all of me at your feet. I worship you alone. You
seated for just a moment. I'm going to ask our ushers, if you guys would come on forward at this time. A lot of times we use our offertory time here at Gateway to highlight special ministry or something special that's going on. And we're going to do that today with something called the Timothy Project. And so Beth Morris is going to come, wherever Beth is, and she's going to come and share a little bit about that. It's just a tremendous ministry. And I just encourage you guys to listen closely, because it doesn't just involve our teenagers, it involves our whole church.
You guys don't mind, I'm going to step up here so I have something to hold on to. I'm not a public speaker by any means. Okay. All right, for those of you who are adults, I would just ask you to take just a moment to think back to when you were teenagers. May not be all pleasant memories, but try to think of someone who maybe was, that you knew was praying over you when you were a teenager. Praying you through all those hard struggles that you went through. So you can probably picture somebody in your mind right now, whether it was a parent or a youth pastor or just a mentor. Well, we are giving you guys that opportunity to be that someone for one of our youth. We're calling it the Timothy Project. This is a project that Pastor Nick brought here from his former church. And it's called that because of Paul's relationship with Timothy and how he mentored him, how he constantly prayed over him, encouraged him, taught him how to be a leader. That's something that we want for our kids. We want them each partnered with one of you that will consistently pray over them. So the idea is that, I'm sorry, you guys, I'm nervous. The idea is that you as a prayer mentor will personally commit to pray regularly for one student until he or she graduates from college or gets married. Now, I know you're thinking to yourself, well, that is a really long commitment. And it is a long commitment. If you think about it, we've got 7th through 12th graders that we're talking about here. So if we partner you up with a 7th grader and they go to college, you're talking about 10 years. So it's not a commitment to make lightly, but it is one that really is going to bless both you and your student. And if you think about it, too, if they choose to imitate Paul and they never get married, you could be praying for a really, really long time. So what we're going to do is we're going to partner our men with our guys and our women with our girls. Right now we have 71 students signed up for this. So we need as many of you as are willing to sign up to mentor them. We've got more than 71. We just don't have all of their pictures yet. So for student safety, each mentor must be a member of Gateway and also have a background check on file in the church office. This is super easy to do. I did it a few years ago for VBS. Only takes a few minutes. Just see Carla Taylor in the office, and she'll take care of that for you. And as a bonus, if you get that done, then you'll be all set up to help us with VBS this summer, or Kids Club, is what we call it. Let's see. I'm a military wife, and I know that some people in here are probably military families, and you might be wondering to yourself, well, how is this going to work if we have to move or things like that? Well, we have thought that through, and if you as a mentor, if you move, what we'll do is we will assign your student a new mentor. Now, if you have youth that are participating and you move as a family, then those youth can stay with their mentors. Just don't let moving frequently keep you from being involved if that's something that you're interested in. We can make it work. And even a short amount of time as a prayer mentor is going to be a huge blessing to that one student. So back in the back, there's a table, a couple tables full of picture frames and paperwork for you to fill out if you're interested. What will happen is once we've had time to assign you a student, then we'll give you the frame, and you'll have that to look at every day as your reminder to pray over them and encourage them. We'd also like, in addition to praying, for you to try to encourage your student at least quarterly with a card in the mail or an email or an encouraging text. I would ask that you not take the frames today because we need a little bit of time to look at your interests, try to match you up with someone who has similar interests. I don't know about the rest of you parents of youth, but I'm super excited that there's going to be somebody out there, somebody in addition to myself, praying over my two teenagers every day. So this is just a great opportunity. You'll see, too, that there are post-it notes on each frame. That's protecting the privacy of our students' information. So even though you might be tempted, just try not to peek under those little post-it notes. Let's see. So I've been begging our youth for several weeks now, trying to get their pictures and get everyone's information, but I know I haven't reached all of them. So if you don't see your youth's picture back there, and they want to be involved in this, there's also a paper back there that you can take for them to fill out and then just get the information back to me, and we'd be more than happy to include them. Okay, so in closing, I'm sure, you know, like I was saying at the beginning, we can all think about struggles that we had when we were teenagers. And this is just an opportunity for us to encourage one of our youth, as Paul encouraged Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11-12, to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness, and to fight the good fight of the faith. Thank you so much.
All right, Beth was really nice. She's like, if you want, I'm telling you, we need to do this. We ought to have every one of those kids spoken for quickly. And so, great opportunity to do this. So we're going to close with a song. This is today going to be a dismissal song. So when we start, you guys can go ahead and go. If you're signed up for Starting Gate or you want to stay for Starting Gate, meet us right down here in this corner in just about 10 minutes. And a few guys, if you can hang around, help us pick up this side of the chairs, that would be great. So Phil, you lead us and we're gone. God bless.
Oh, our God is a glorious God. As you go about your week this